super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake. Mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man who's like the middle of a litter box, always surrounded by pussy, 42nd Street Pete.
Hey, we're back for another round of fun. I want to thank Keith Crocker again for being with us last week. We got a lot of response to the autograph thing. maybe I should address that. Oh, and we're also going to call this show, for whatever reason I just dreamed up this week, it's going to be called Saturday Night Stupidity, because there's a lot of stupid shit that happened this week and in the past week or so even. So anyway, but back to the autograph thing, which is stupidity in itself. Yeah, we were around in the very beginning when all this stuff started, where the autographs were usually free because the promoters usually paid the person, you know, a fee to be there and sign. You know, and like I said, some were really glad to be rediscovered. Others were, you know, real mercenary about it. Well, one thing I know, and I know this was decided in a bar, and I don't know if I should say who was involved, but, you know, something, fuck it. I think it was Mark Goddard, Lou Ferrigno, Dave Hess, and a couple other people that decided they should just put a flat rate of $20 on an autograph, and that was it. So it sort of escalated from there. And then what I really don't like as far as promoters go is that a lot of these promoters, before a show, will put up a disclaimer saying that we have no control over what stars charge for autographs. That's fucking bullshit. You're flying them out, you're putting them up, whatever, or whatever the deal used to be. I don't know what it is now, but, you know, that's like saying that if I bought a table at one of these shows for whatever they charge, that I could sit there and charge $400 an autograph and nobody would say shit to me because it's my prerogative, which we know is bullshit. Somebody would say something. So I just think that's a cop-out. And a bullshit cop-out at that. A little drink of wine here to wet the whistle. But we're going to have probably, I'm thinking next week maybe, we're going to have Ken Keish, promoter of Cinema Wasteland, because he sent me an email and he wanted to weigh in on that whole situation as a vendor and a promoter of what he thinks of it. But the bottom line is, a lot of people don't like it, and a lot of people who have been there since day one, you know, like myself, you know, really think it's an abuse to the fans to do this. And I, you know, still stand by my previous statement about that, you know, if we didn't go see their movies, their TV shows, buy their shit, their tie-in stuff, where would they be? So it's a double-edged sword at best, but, you know, it's going to be addressed because the fans, you know, I keep getting emails and people want to know, you know, what I think about it, what, you know, what I think should be done about it. And I said, you know, in a lot of cases, a lot of these guys have to make their living doing this because they're simply not getting the work. They're only getting the requisite $20 and, you know, okay, some guys will have to charge $10 a sign, your thing. Okay, you know, I can understand that. You know, you're out of work. This is what you're doing for a living. But you're nice to people. You care about the fans. You know, you make the fans feel like they're not getting ripped off. I've seen people, you know, just don't even look up at the fan. Scroll their signature across it and it's $40. That's fucking bullshit, disrespectful. But anyway, away from that for a while. You're getting a few emails that I haven't been doing any reviews lately, and you're right, I haven't, because I haven't had time. But tonight, you know something? Fuck it, we're going to do a few. I got a whole pile of shit in front of me. First up is the Night of the Creeps director's cut. Finally, this fucker came out, and what a great fucking movie it is. And this has the Tom Atkins interview on it, Man of Action. A lot of good stuff, a lot of extras. Birth of the Creeps, Cast of the Creeps, Creating the Creeps, and all kinds of creeps. I think it has a double, also the two endings. And this one was good. This one was really good. I really enjoyed seeing this again. You know, I saw it in the movies when it did come out. Actually, I saw it at the RKO Twin in Willowbrook in Wayne, New Jersey. So, yeah, this was a good one. And, oh, I got another email that somebody said they're tired of me saying fuck. I don't know why. Never gets old to me. I do listen to people, and I went out and bought this Creative Cursing Mix and Match Profanity Generator. So let's come up with a new phrase. What do you think? I'm going to flip one side. First thing that came up is ass. Ass lips. Okay? So for the rest of the evening, anybody who fucks up will be referred to as ass lips. Which brings us to our next DVD, the 42nd Street Forever Volume 5 Alamo Drafthouse Cinema. This is their own stuff. This was put out by Synapse, but it's not Synapse's own trailers. This is the guys from the Alamo Drafthouse's trailers, which they have a bunch of pretty interesting shit. And some of the stuff wasn't really in that great a shape, and I've seen people on websites bitch about it. But you know something? These things, we've gone through this. They've been played a million fucking times. So what do you expect? But more interesting than that was the whole setup of how the draft house is set up with the restaurant and all this other cool shit. And I just wish somebody would open something like that up around here, but I shouldn't hold my breath.
Pete, I have to tell you something, man. I'm kind of getting tired of these people griping about these beat-up kind of drive-in prints. That kind of adds to the nostalgia for me because I actually watched these things in drive-ins, and I watched them in our version of grindhouses here in the Midwest. And I got to tell you, I honestly really like them being kind of scratchy and beat up. I mean, what do these people expect? This movie is not, you know, Sin City. It didn't just come out a week ago on digital video. These are old prints that play at the draft house. I mean, they actually play them there.
Yeah. Oh, if you like beat up, scratched up prints, let me get a shameless plug. I'm wrapping up that nonstop grind sleazy picture show, the quadruple feature we put out. I'm wrapping up volume 2, A Night at the Harem. And I got some scratched up shit in there, too. Tattooed Lady, Hawaii Sexo. What the fuck was the other one? Oh, Up at JJ's Place and Love Lies Waiting. And Love Lies Waiting is pretty good. It's really clear print and everything else, while Tattooed Lady and Hawaii 5-0 are what you said, banged up. So I got a good mix in there, and that's going to be coming out shortly. That's why I said I've been really busy working on this shit. Extreme Sleaze Part 3, the Peepland Collection. Some really rare nudes that I picked up that I'm going to work on. I haven't thrown a title on that yet, but I got a bunch of shit going on. It's another reason I haven't been able to do shit. But back to the reviews. Up next, Inglourious Basterds. All right. I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. And, you know, Tarantino obviously got a Woody over the original Inglourious Basterds, which wasn't all that, to be honest with you. You know, they really couldn't do it much at that time in Italy. I like the extras more than I like the movie, but for some reason, QT gets Wood over this, so he gets the rights to the title, runs to one of the Weinsteins, who, you know, he basically, you know, fucked up with Grindhouse, and I think in an attempt to redeem himself, I could be reaching here, but who the fuck knows? He made super Jews beating up Nazis. You're a Jewish producer, and somebody comes up to you with this great idea of some guy named Jew Bear beating the shit out of Nazis with a fucking baseball bat, then scalping them and carving swastikas on their head. I'm sure they're going to be happy about that. So I think this was QT's gift to the Weinsteins. Otherwise, I thought the movie sucked. It was just talk, talk, talk. Very little action. Whatever action there was bloody, the scalpings and shit like that. But then now here's the typical fanboy trick. Brad Pitt's character is called Lieutenant Aldo Ray. There's a Hugo Stiglitz character. There's an Antonio Margheriti character. I don't know. I just don't get it, you know? That's where I stand on the whole thing. I thought it was pretty fucked up. And I actually traded the DVD already, so that says a lot.
You know, every year at awards time, I always say, especially like Academy Awards or Golden Globe Awards or any of these award shows, I always find it very ironic that those shows that are always nominated have to do with Nazis. They're either like these bizarre artsy movies that I can't stand to sit through, or here lately they've had to do with Nazis. Last year, The Dark Knight was set to be a Academy Award nominee for Best Film of the Year, and the idiots at the Academy couldn't stand the fact that this nerd fanboy movie, this comic book film that they thought would do barely anything, was amazing. So at the very last minute, they kicked it out and replaced it with what? The Reader. A movie about, for all intents and purposes, a cradle-robbing pedophile Nazi film. Now, that, to me, made no sense at all.
I don't know. I don't get it. And then, like, you know, you got magazines like, well, we had Keith on last week. He put out that Blitzkrieg, Escape from Stalag 69. You know, Fangoria never even covered it. They put it up on a website and said it sucked, but the magazine didn't even cover it. Tim Pone was down there the night they had the premiere, and he was in there ahead of time for one of his movies. And he never even stuck around to see it. It's like, you know, if you're at horror exploitation, you should be pretty open to covering other stuff, especially something that actually ran an unheard of week in a theater in a major city and drew money. So that's the whole fucking fanboy attitude. But, you know, I don't get it. You know, I understand. I honestly don't get them fucking people. You know, you're supposed to be a fan of this shit, but you become an elitist. I don't fucking get it. But anyway, fuck it. Okay, Dark Sky put out The Human Factor with George Kennedy. And this was a little bit of ahead of its time, but the fucked up part was it never got theatrical around here because it was made by Branston Pictures, who we all know who they were, Texas Chainsaw, Andy Milligan films. Nobody got paid. These were the boys who were behind Deep Throat and Devil and Miss Jones, who started the whole Branston Pictures thing as a tax dodge. But unfortunately, everything they put out made money, and they figured, oh, I guess we can fuck them like we did the other guys. Not so. The IRS came in. But this thing was never released, but it was on the early days of cable. And it's about a guy whose family gets massacred by terrorists, and he uses all this high-tech thing stuff to try to bring him to justice. But the whole deal is, when they finally zero in him, he turns around and he goes, you don't get it. They killed my family. I'm taking them out. And Big George goes out there and fucking wipes them out. It's a pretty cool flick. It's out by Dark Sky. What else we got here? I rewatched Superfly for the first time in a while, and can't say enough about this film, how influential it was and still is. And the beautiful thing is there was hardly any violence in this film whatsoever, and it just got itself over by this simple message at the end, which was just so fucking cool. So, yeah, Superfly. Check that out. What do we got here next? Okay, it's Jack Ketchum's book, The Offspring, which was a sequel to Offseason, which has yet to see a movie deal for some reason. And if you've read Offspring, let me just tell you one thing. This movie is as brutal and unrelenting as the book was. And Jack does a cameo. So, yeah, check this one out, because this is, like, real high on the cringe factor.
I have to interject also that this last week, finally, after all these years, quietly under the radar, Warner Brothers put out a little collection called the Urban Action Collection, four movies. Black Belt Jones is finally on DVD with Hot Potato, which is kind of a semi-sequel. He still plays the Jones character, even though it's PG and not as good. It's still amazing drive-in fun. Also Black Samson, and one of my favorites, Three the Hard Way with Fred Williamson. It's just, it's amazing they finally put these movies out. So everyone get out there and demand them. I see that Best Buy has picked them up, but here in this area, for some reason, we didn't get any, so I had to get mine.
We didn't get them here either. I went looking.
Bastards. I had to get mine through Hastings, but yeah, they are out there. They are out there running around, so everybody demand that people carry these movies. Black Belt Jones.
Yeah.
Beautiful print, too.
Yeah. Jim Kelly, rather.
Yeah, Jim Kelly. I love.
What the fuck am I talking about?
That's awesome.
Okay. All right. Well, back to this shit. Here's an oddball. This is put out by RF Video. If you're a wrestling fan, this thing's called Got Heat. It's a look at the most legendary feuds and what was going on behind the scenes. And, you know, this is actual shit that happened where, okay, just for example, Paul Orndorff got in a fist fight with Vader. The Nasty Boys got in a fist fight with Hall and Nash. Sid Vicious and Arn Anderson ended up in Arn getting stabbed, or somebody got stabbed with scissors. This is a two DVD set. It's only available from RF Video, and there'll be a JAP this weekend, Jersey All Pro Wrestling, down in Rahway this weekend, so you can pick it up there. And here's one from our buddy Bill Greffy, the Hook Generation, and the Psychedelic Priest on the Something Weird Video trippy double feature. And the Hook Generation has a pretty stellar cast. Jeremy Slate, John Davis Chandler, Willie Pastrano. Pretty cool shit here. And we both met Bill up at Cinema Wasteland, and he's a pretty cool guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was fun.
Yeah. This is some cool shit on this one, so check that out.
I love that. I've got that, too. I love that double bill.
Yeah. Also from our buddy Bill Lustig at Blue Underground, we got Midnight Blue, the collection of the porn stars of the 80s. And for those of you who don't know, Midnight Blue was Al Goldstein's TV show, which was an extension of Screw Magazine. And it was just as nuts as Screw was. And he's got a who's who of 80s people here, like Ron Jeremy, Nina Hartley, Desiree Costeau, Vanessa Del Rio, Annette Haven, Veronica Hart, all kinds of shit. And, of course, Annie Sprinkle, Jackie Parks. These actually have massage parlor and escort ads from back in the day that they used to run on there. So this is volume 6, so check this one out, Porn Stars of the 80s. And I never got a chance to see any of this stuff, but Redson Tower. This is a toe tag picture, Freddie Vogel's outfit, and I hadn't seen any of this stuff, and this just impressed the shit out of me because very credible plot, very credible acting, and some really incredible over-the-top gore effects. So I would highly recommend Reddison Tower, Toe Tag.
Or pick it up at Cinema Wasteland. They're always at Cinema Wasteland.
He's always at Cinema Wasteland. Fred's cool.
Yeah, I really like him. Yeah, and you know, they're really nice people. And I have to say, their effects, man, they really put a lot into their set pieces, their gore scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Man, wow.
Yeah. Now, here's one I actually had a fucking buy. And you know the killing part is, this is a DVD-R. This is the archive collection from Warner Brothers. They're just downloading shit and burning it. But I really wanted this El Condor with Jim Brown and Lee Van Cleef. And it's, you know, it's just flat. But, you know, I hadn't had it. It was only available on tape. Actually, the screenplay was by Larry Cohen, of all people, from It's Alive.
He did a lot of good stuff. Yeah. Lots of screenplays.
And in addition to this, it also has one of the final screen appearances of Elijah Cook Jr. and Patrick O'Neill's in it, Mariana Hill, and Iron Ice Cody. And wow. I love this stuff. It's great stuff. As a matter of fact, I don't know if we can get away with this, but we're going to try. There was a film released out here called The Stranger and the Gunfighter, and Video Asia just released it as Blood Money. And I got the trailer right here. So we're going to try to actually do this. Hang on one sec. Let's see how this comes out.
Lo Lee is the undisputed master of martial arts. A savage. A saint. A stranger. Lee Van Cleef is the legendary man of iron, a gambler. A gentleman.
Don't get offended. But he just wants to see your,
A gunfighter. Now, from Columbia Pictures.
Welcome to Monterey.
The Stranger and the Gunfighter.
The Hanging Town.
The most brutal hands in the East join with the fastest gun of the West in an unusual search for a fortune in gold. The Stranger. The Gunfighter. And the gold.
Am I on the right road?
Not only are you on the right road, but you arrive at your destination.
Lee Van Cleef, the meanest man in the West. He wants the gold and he means to get it. Lo Lee, the kung fu fighting star of the Five Fingers of Death. His fists are lethal weapons, and his body an arsenal of destruction. Two fantastic fighting machines. Lo Lee, Van Cleef, the Stranger, and the Gunfighter. Together, they can do anything.
Great stuff, huh?
What's that from, Pete? What collection is that from?
That's from, I think it's out of print. It's Wild East's Fistful of Trailers. Well, the other ones I got here, going back to this reviewing shit, you know, and that, like I said, that was released over here as The Stranger and the Gunfighter, but it's out right now. And it's out as Blood Money. It's a pretty good print, better than what somebody else had put out prior to that. I guess Warner Brothers is putting out this thing called Twisted Terror Collection. They got Wes Craven's Deadly Friend. Yeah. And looks like this is where the guy popping through the bed originated, the whole scene with Freddy pulling the guy through the bed. Well, this was probably where Wes tested it out. This was okay. I wasn't really that impressed with it, though. But I got one that you were impressed with, if you told me this...
Chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate. What the hell's the other part of it, though? You can't pronounce it either. it's the Ong Bak films, the people who did that. And this is interesting from a standpoint that nobody over here would have the balls to actually do this. An autistic child watches karate movies on TV, and she grows up, and when her mother gets victimized, she goes after to collect her money, and when they fuck with her, she just... Kung Fu's them. It's pretty fucking nuts, but you know, the whole thing, you know, the whole premise is this is an autistic kid who was plopped in front of a TV and this is all she knows. So it's interesting. I don't think anybody over here would have the balls to do it, though, you know?
It's so well made. I'm really angry that it's never been put in theaters. One of the things I loved about it was the fact that, man, everyone involved made every effort to make a movie that not only had a kind of different plot and had amazing martial arts, but also the acting is very strong and it's very stylish. It's a very well-made movie. I was really impressed with it, so much so that I have it on Blu-ray.
Yeah. Starship Troopers 2, Hero of the Federation. I didn't expect much, but it was okay. I mean, you know, for what it's worth, it was okay. It's not going to, you know, come even close to the original, but it had a different premise about how these bugs were going to invade next. So I think there's a third one out, too. I didn't see that one yet, but this was okay. You know, it you know, wasn't a total waste of fucking time. But Drag Me to Hell. Oh, yeah. Drag Me to Hell. Drag my balls over broken glass before I'd ever watch this fucking thing again. What a piece of shit. And in case anybody hasn't heard, Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire are no longer involved in the franchise, it looks like.
Yeah, I'm pretty angry about it. I don't like the way it was done because, first of all, they bring all these people together. Yeah. They set up the offices. They start production. They actually start filming some things, which I don't think a lot of people realize. They actually started filming parts of this. They take a break for Christmas to rework one part of the script that wasn't completely what they wanted. Well, yeah. Next thing we know, Sony makes this decision. They come in. Sam and company show up on the set. They're ready to rock and roll. And guess what? They're all fired. They fire the cast. They fire the crew. They fire everybody. And the reason why they're firing them all is because they're going to reboot the franchise with an all-new Spider-Man situation where they're going to be younger. They're going to try
They're going for the Twilight
shit. Yeah, you know, yeah.
Really, suck my dick with this stuff, all right? You know, we may as well admit it, Todd. I mean, you're getting edged out, too, and you're younger than I am. They're not making movies for us to see anymore. They're catering to the real younger audience, and you know something? Fuck it. Who cares? I'll watch the oldie shit any day of the week as it makes sense. Now, here's one that blew my mind. Smoking Aces 2. I didn't really like the first one, but this one kicked major ass, and it was nice to see Michael Parks in something other than a fucking Quentin Tarantino cameo. And Vinnie Jones is in it. This was pretty insane as far as actually you're gonna love this, Todd. You know it was insane as far as these shoot ups go, but they had exploding midgets too. Yeah, this whole family of rednecks that Michael Parks is the father. They kidnapped these circus midgets, stuck them in a cannon, tied dynamite to them, and shot them through the building. This was fucking insane. Like I said, Vinnie Jones, he's nuts in it too. He's the surgeon. Fucking crazy shit, man. I like this one.
I just got it on Blu-ray. I was excited because it got some great reviews. And I thought, you know, I got a heck of a deal on it. They had number one and two at Best Buy on Blu-ray for $28.99. I said, give it to me. I'm going.
Well, here's another thumbs down. And you were right. Public Enemies. It sucked. It was too slick. The banks were too nice. They looked like, you know, God, come on. This was the Depression. Banks didn't look that fucking nice. You know, your typical Michael Mann glossy shit. And I liked the part basically where they were exposing J. Edgar Hoover as the fucking scumbag that he is, or was rather. He's dead. He was also a cross-dresser too. So, yeah, I liked that point of it. But as far as the action and all that, I really didn't like the way it went down. It was too glossy for me.
Well, did it seem to you also like that it was, you could kind of tell that they were trying to go for a realism by shooting it on digital, but to me it kind of ruined it because it seemed like it was too shaky. It was like too much handheld shaky cam stuff again. And I'm like,
yeah, you know something? Watch that, then watch the Warren Oates one from the 70s.
Yeah, when they used to make movies correctly. Try that.
With Dillinger. Then Warren Oates actually looked like the real John Dillinger in that movie. And then look at the cast they had. Ben Johnson, Harry Dean Stanton, Jeffrey Lewis, Richard Dreyfuss as Babyface Nelson.
That was awesome.
How could you go wrong with that? You know, then you get this shit. Another one I really liked was something called The Goods, Live Hard, Sell Hard. It's about a used car lot with these pros, Ving Rhames, Jeremy Piven, and Charles Napier in a cameo, and he's completely out of his fucking mind in this. Okay, like I said, you know, all these DVDs except for the Blue Wonder Girl, I went out and bought. He's the only guy that's nice enough to send me screeners. The other stuff I got to go out and buy. Oh, as you know, we got a sponsor now. We have a sponsor. This segment was brought to you by Fruit of the Boom Undergarments. Whether you're planning a jihad or just simply have explosive diarrhea, Fruit of the Boom will make a pair of shorts tailored to your needs. Remember, you don't want to go meeting Allah with dirty shorts. Take it from me, Fruit of the Boom underwear. It's the fucking bomb. All right, well, on to other things now we've done the movie thing. What's this shit with Sarah Palin? I know she wrote a pop-up book or something, or a paint-by-numbers book, but now she got a job as some kind of anchor somewhere? You know, answer me a question. How come fucking stupid people get all the good jobs? God, stupid people get good jobs.
Million-dollar book deals.
Yeah, I didn't know she could fucking read as much as write. You know, what did she write? Oh, I can see Russia from my fucking bathroom window.
Rock and Roll High School, the school where the students rule. The new principal hates the students, but the kids take over and rock the roof off the school. Dig out the sounds of Paul McCartney and Wings. Fleetwood Mac, Devo, Nick Lowe, Chuck Berry, Todd Rundgren, Bent Fabric, Velvet Underground, Brownsville Station, MC5, Eno, Paley Brothers, Eddie and the Hot Rod, Alice Cooper, and starring the Ramones. Rock and Roll High School. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
Okay, and in keeping with the stupidity, that H1N1, the whole swine flu thing, it seems it was one big hoax. And according to this one website I just read, it's falling apart at the seams that countries are actually dumping this vaccine, throwing it out. Remember how hard this shit thing used to get? You know, oh, you got to line up. You're never going to get your shots. And they're opening all these fucking almost like death camps out in the Midwest with the hospitals and shit.
Yeah.
Well, a leading European health authority in Europe, a guy named Wolfgang Wodarg, says this is one of the greatest medical scandals of the century. It was all a big marketing scam, and it was endorsed and egged on by the Center for Disease Control and the World Health Organization to simply make fucking money. If you don't buy what I'm saying, do yourself a favor. Here's where the article is. It's www.naturalnews.com/1027984_swine_flu_vaccine.html. But probably if you got on the naturalnews.com, you'd find it anyway. But that's the whole deal. I was suspicious of this shit from the get-go, and God only knows what the fuck was injected into all those people that, I hate to say it, were dumb enough to fall for this shit. I mean, I don't even get regular flu vaccine because I simply do not trust it. I don't trust the government. They're not doing anything to earn my trust. And this is another fucking example of how fucked up it is. So all your kids got this shit shoved into their fucking bodies and shit. God only knows what the fuck it was. Maybe it was a microtransmitter. Who the fuck knows? I mean, this shit is getting really out of hand. People are really getting even more fucking stupid, because here's some statistics. Remember I got on that whole thing about the gay marriage shit, how they voted it down in Jersey, and then the former governor was sucking cock anyway, so I don't understand that whole thing. And the biggest cocksuckers in America, as far as I'm concerned, are every fucking politician. But now here, Massachusetts had voted in the gay marriage thing,
right?
As a result, and this is no bullshit, they've come up with $111 million in additional revenue through florists, weddings, caterers, hotels, and the like, all stemming from gay marriage. $111 million.
Yeah.
And these ass lips around here, and the ass lips out in California, and the ass lips across the country don't want to legalize this shit. Like I said before, who cares if they're sucking somebody's dick as long as it ain't yours, if you're that fucking paranoid? But what kills me is how many Republicans have been caught canvassing fucking people in men's rooms. Remember that whole deal? The fucking pages during Reagan. I mean, come on. What the fuck, you know? Leave these people alone. Anybody who's rabidly against something is hiding something, and we all know what that is.
Crazy that they had to rename this thing, but the swine flu, in all honesty, the symptoms were milder in many ways than the regular flu that was going around at the time. If people would have just picked up a newspaper or got on the internet, if people would actually read these days and do 1 hour of research, they would have already known that this virus was actually very mild compared to the actual flu that we've been having the last couple of years anyway, and that the number of people that died from it were so small compared to the number of people that die from the regular flu. But no one looked into that. No one saw it.
Yeah, and the worst case scenario was, okay, now this is just coming out as a fucking hoax and shit. So people, you know, I'm going to say, hopefully people aren't going to be that willing to blind trust anything anymore. But what happens if you have a real fucking pandemic now? People ain't gonna fucking believe you. They lied to make fucking money. That's all they do. That's all these people are capable of. These fucking politicians and these fucking corporations, all they do is they lie to make money. Nothing more, nothing less. Oh, we need to stimulate the economy. Let's create a fake fucking disease. Why don't you find a cure for crabs besides girls who like seafood? Gee, you know, it's fucking unbelievable. And these people blindly go along with it. I fucking question everything. But the other thing, too, is now we have a major catastrophe with the earthquake in Haiti. And a lot of people, you know, like, oh, Haiti, who gives a fuck? You know something? Another country we fucked over. We propped up two dictators in there, Papa Doc and Baby Doc. We siphoned off money from that country. So, you know something? If nothing else, we have a responsibility to help. And you know something? You know, like the Haitians, look at these fucking kids that have been crushed under fucking buildings and shit. And then you have a complete fucking asshole like Pat Robertson saying that the reason this was God's vengeance for voodoo, devil worship, and AIDS. I thought this fucking televangelist shit was dead in the fucking water. You know, I honestly did. Listen to this fucking ass. I can't fucking believe this guy made a statement like that.
Ugh.
And then I'm driving around and a rabbi came on the radio and apologized on behalf of the fucking clerics of America or something because it is fucking moron who makes a statement like this. Which brings us to our next corporate sponsor. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, we proudly present Championship Pope Wrestling from Naples, Italy. This week, Our Holiness squares off against televangelist Pat Robertson. So let's get ready to repent! Okay.
That is awesome.
That was fucked up. And the other thing is, now this is another thing with Haiti. Do you know a guy who calls himself Bubba the Love Sponge?
No.
Okay.
Thankfully.
He's a shock jock down in Florida. Like, sort of like they consider him the Howard Stern of the South, but he's anything fucking but. And one of his big buddies is Hulk Hogan. So, of course, when Hulk Hogan buys, and I question this whole thing about him buying it to anything, winds up in total nonstop action wrestling, the direct competition to WWE, he brings all these fucking assholes and hanger-oners with him, like guys that can't work anymore. And he brings Bubba the Love Sponge, to be a backstage interviewer. Well, last week, maybe it was Monday, I don't know. There's a woman who was mentioned on this show before, and we had Amy Leon, called Awesome Kong. And she does a lot of charity work, gives back a lot of stuff to the community. She's a real stand-up gal. I've met her a few times. I'll tell you how stand-up she is. And the last time she wrestled for WSU, she was wrestling Amy. Now, 5 minutes before she was supposed to go on, she got a phone call that her best friend just passed away. Now, what would you do? She went on. She went on with the show. She toughed through it. She, in my estimation, is a stand-up gal. So what does this fucking fat asshole, and he's known as Hogan's cum sponge, say, fuck Haiti? Well, she beat the fucking piss out of him like she owned him, pummeled his fucking dumb redneck racist ass, and sent him packing. He runs the Hogan. Hogan's on his fucking show. Oh, she's going to be fired. You fire her, you worthless piece of shit. What have you ever done for anybody besides Hulk Hogan and your little entourage? Absolutely nothing. The guy who gave you your fucking start, Vern Gagne, you fucked in the ass when you jumped to Vince. Then you fucked Vince by jumping to Turner. Then you jump back and forth. You go whoever waves the most fucking money in front of you. Then your miserable family life becomes public fucking shit with your son almost killing his best friend in a car wreck, him going to jail, and you're making your phone calls between him and you public. They're all over the internet. You're damning a guy who got fucking hurt and shit. Okay, it gets better. Your fucking wife leaves you for supposedly infidelities and shit like that. Then it's on the news that the Hulk wants his throne back. Well, I figured this was you going back to TNA, you know, to get the championship belt or whatever the fuck they call it. Oh, no. You needed your wooden toilet seat back because Linda wouldn't give it to you because she hung it up with your picture in it on her living room wall and says you can have it back when you admit all the bullshit you did. Well, I don't know who's running TNA, but they got to have their fucking head up their ass for hiring you to begin with. You've never done nothing for the business since your big Hulkamania, take your vitamins, say your prayers and kiss my fucking ass days. And you've been nothing ever since. You can't work. You're out of it. You're just a fucking presence on TV. You're a fucking disgrace. And now you're going to back up this guy who basically made a racist comment. Fuck Haiti. You know, something. Fuck you, okay? You and your whole group, because you're going to sink that fucking promotion. And that broad is too dumb who owns it to figure it out. So, like I said, you never did nothing for nobody. You just do what you call business. You're not going to put over anybody. You're not going to elevate anybody. It's already become a fucking haven for WWE castoff, like Orlando Jordan, Val Venus, the Nasty Boys. I mean, this was supposed to be a new fucking promotion. And basically the guys they're pushing, you fucking killed off already. So you know something? Bubba the Love Sponge, Kiss My Fucking Ass, Awesome Kong, you're number one in my book. I hope they don't fucking fire your ass over this. A lot of people are going to be real pissed off over that. But that's another thing, Saturday Night Stupidity. A fucking asshole shock jock who's friends with a big-time wrestler who gets a job through connections who doesn't know his ass from a fucking hole in the ground. Or, as the late legendary Gorilla Monsoon would say, doesn't know a wrist lock from a wristwatch. So there, ass lips. You love when I do that shit, don't you? You love when I go off on these rants.
I do it, man. It's awesome.
It's fucking crazy. You know, it's like everything that happens, I mean, it's a fucking disaster. And you know something? There was one off the coast of California, I think, the week before that, too. Maybe 2012 is true. Who the fuck knows? Or maybe the Mayans just ran out of calendar space.
People are taking that stuff like it's on the same timeline as ours. Whenever you break it down, it's not at all the same timeline as ours at all. So their 2012 was not the same as our 2012. We're on two different calendar systems, peeps.
Well, it's like the time zone thing I bitch about all the time, you know. Who the fuck knows? When the end comes, you know what the Bible says? When the end comes, it'll come like a thief in the night. Actually, the bulk of them should be castrated so their genes can't be passed on, so we can't have more stupid fucking people.
Stupid people shouldn't breed, but then the damn state would be almost empty.
You're right. Yeah. It was a town in New Jersey. I'll even say it on the air. It was Rockaway, New Jersey. You used to say, welcome to Rockaway. Your IQ just dropped 10 points. I don't know, dude. I honestly don't know. It's just a fucking, it just gets stupider and stupider. They all of a sudden, since that airline thing with the guy with the exploding underwear and shit, how much more shit has gotten on fucking planes? Ammunition, fireworks, a gun. Now, today around here, there was something, well, maybe it was yesterday, an 8-year-old brought a gun to school.
Jeez.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, you know, he had to be like his heroes, Biggie Smalls. And
things are fucked up. I don't know where to get these guns. I can't get a gun. Then again, you look at me. Who the fuck in the right mind would sell me a gun? We don't think so, sir. Well, what about that knife over there? Well, maybe you can have that. Yeah. You can do damage with anything if you put your mind to it. Got to be creative in this world. You really do.
What's going on with Ross from That's for Entertainment?
Well, he moved.
Oh.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday, as a matter of fact. I'm sending out a couple lovely boxes of smut for him for the new store because he has now moved to 114 and a half East College Street in Iowa City, Iowa. It's on the second floor, and I heard there's a head shop and a tattoo parlor there, too.
Awesome.
And like I said, all you need is a massage parlor, and fuck, I'd be home. You know? Really, if you had a fucking quick check downstairs, you'd never have to leave, you know?
That's true.
Put a shower in there? What the fuck? You know, everything you need. One-stop shopping at your fingertips. Yeah. And we've still got Mr. Jim's House of Video down in Belleville on Washington Avenue. He's still got a bunch of weird shit down there, too. And let's see. DVD Planet and Hackensack on River Street. They carry all my stuff. Yeah, you know, Rare Flicks down in Sea Caucus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whatever, down by the Outlet thing. Right next to Tommy Hilfiger. They got a whole ton of weird stuff, too. You know, that's where, you know, Media Blasters.
Oh, yeah. They got
the Media Blasters titles, the Synapse titles, the Blue Underground titles, my titles. You know, a bunch of $5 shit, too.
You know, I really like Media Blasters. I'm a little mad at them right now, though, because I got this movie late fee. And what the hell?
But a lot of these guys, you know, they're good, you know, if they get a certain amount of money. There's not a lot of guys like, okay, with this thing we're doing with the whole Blood Wings thing. Where Victor, you know, is doing this thing, and, like, he's good with no budget. Where a lot of guys aren't that good with no budget. Yeah. Well, you know, you did it yourself. You know what the fuck I'm talking about, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is very difficult. You have to be creative. You have to be able to pull things. You have to be able to think on your feet very quickly. And it is true. Some people, you know, with a budget are very good because they usually hire people to do all that stuff for them. They don't have to think quickly because they're hiring someone to do it.
Some guys, you know, like... Well, you know, Mike's got all these different fucking labels and shit. You know, Bloody Earth Films, I think it is. Yeah, Bloody Earth Films. The one, Blood, Sex, Nightmare.
Okay.
That was only made for a couple grand, and that looks, you know, like, you know, a $50,000 movie.
Wow. I haven't seen
it. Ever. Yeah, it's not bad for what it is. I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's putting what you spend on there on the screen. Like, I'll give you an example, because a lot of people have asked me about the unconventional thing, what happened with that. And what happened was... People came to me through a friend of mine with this script, a horror film script. And I, you know, it was different. It was original. So I, you know, I looked at it. I says, well, what are you looking to do with this? And they go, well, you know, we want to make it, you know, and I go, okay, well, you know, at that time I was with Chiller Theater. So
I said, why don't you come down to the convention? You know, I mean, you might meet some people, get an idea of what's going on. So they came down, they loved the show, and they said, well, we got a better idea. Let's do a documentary about it. And I said, okay, fine. So I said, well, you know, what are you going to do? They go, we want you, because you've been there longest, to follow you around and, you know, have like one legend, Gunnar Hansen, one scream queen, Tiffany Shepis, one real low-budget filmmaker, Bob Gonzo, and two Uber fans, Dave and Kathy Wilbur, and have a separate camera on each of these people for the whole weekend. So basically, I was hired as the narrator, and that was my involvement in the whole thing, plus, you know, the on-camera, plus setting it up with them, which I got them in the door by, you know, paying the promoter up front with something, you know, as a token of, you know, what was going to happen or, you know, what we hoped happened. That way he got money for the whole thing. And they got permission to do whatever they wanted to do. Well, where it takes the bad U-turn is nobody – I invested in the film and so did the people who originally hooked me up with these guys. And nobody knew shit back then. And that film, when I tell you, cost over $80,000 to make. And when you look at that film, and everybody has looked at it, including yourself, what did you say? What did you say you thought it was worth?
$250.
Yeah, well, I know that, but, you know.
It would have cost me about maybe $250, and that includes my plane ticket to come out there and shoot that.
Let's go worst case scenario. Say that's a $12,000 move.
Not even. Let's say $500.
All right, well, you stick with that. I've got to stick with what I'm going to because I'll get beat up after this. What I felt happened was, these guys took all these money from the investors, and they lived off it because I didn't know nothing. I'm going around promoting the movies with them. I'm getting my food paid for, my booze paid for, my room paid for. I thought, you know, whatever. I didn't know. I'm being completely fucking naive that I didn't know. And that's why I had to throw $10,000 of my own money in it to save face and, you know, be stand-up because I fucking, you know, people were banking on me to do shit, and it never happened because after the whole thing was done, it was Party City. I was leaving. I was done anyway. And we all know what happened with that. So there was a huge falling out over that. And I says, look, I'm going to walk away from this fucking thing so you guys can sell it. Well, they didn't sell it. They went down and it was animosity. But the one shot that they had to sell it, they decided to hang out and party. Now, supposedly they got all distribution deals. But in the interim, somebody deemed it had to be recut. And recutting, I mean, taking as much as Pete as possible out of it to give the approved Chiller Theater cut. Well, of course, fuck that. Bottom line is the movie should have never cost that much. And I really feel, unless somebody proves me wrong, we were worked. We were worked big time, and unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do in this business, and it even goes back to the autograph thing. A lot of so-called fans befriend some of these stars and become, quote, managers, and then they get 10-15% of whatever the star brings in at their table, but they also squeeze the promoter out of a room for the star, a room for themselves, food for themselves, food for the star. So they're basically hitching a ride, getting paid for it. And it's the same with a lot of these film people. Somebody proved me wrong. They knew we didn't know that much about it. They worked us. They got a lot of money. They also got their equipment paid for, and they never made good on anything. The film, nobody has been paid to this date. What I think is going to happen is it's going to be pulled back. The cut that was only struck 3,000 DVDs is going to be reissued with a new intro, maybe an explanation, maybe get the damn thing replicated in fucking Thailand for 10 cents a DVD, and just try to blow it out and get, you know, something back for the guys that laid out their money. But again, like I say, it's a situation where people take advantage of people who don't know and then play all these games. And like, I lost a lot of friends over that whole thing, but maybe they weren't my friends to begin with, and I really got to think it that way. But I learned. It was a learning experience, and I learned exactly what not to do. As opposed to when I left that fucking promotion, I learned exactly how not to run a promotion. I learned exactly how not to treat people. I learned that, you know something, a lot of people just do things because they got a bully boy mentality. And a lot of people are also afraid of dealing with people one-on-one. They got to play the internet game or they got to play the phone tag game. Yeah, it was a lot of bullshit down there. And it's still, you know, it's still a sore point because some shit hasn't been resolved. But I'm not coming off as bitter at the business because I'm still in the fucking business. I'm still going to do the best I can, and I'm still going to try to hit home runs. So fuck it, you know? And that's what you got to do. You've worked with me. A lot of other people worked with me. I'm no nonsense. I want the project to fucking succeed, whether I make, break, or whatever. It's unfortunate that, you know, I had to stick $10,000 into this pile of shit that, you know, I could have made maybe five other good projects with or bought, you know, prints to put out.
I'm sitting over here thinking, all right, Pete, if I'd have known you back then, $10,000, we would have made two movies. And we'd have made the original, and then we'd have made a sequel to whatever the project would have been. And, you know, because I own all my own equipment. You know, I own all my own gear. I have my own editing suite. I don't have to pay for anything. I got all my own lighting. And we would just pay to get us wherever we needed to go and to hire some people to help out and maybe do a few things here or there. Man, for $5,000 today, and even when this unconventional was done, man, you could do a lot of cool stuff. For $8,000, we brought in Rudy Ray Moore. We made Violent New Breed. We blew up stuff. We caught people on fire. We had cars exploding. We did this whole big movie that actually is, you know, was played on cable. And it was for $8,000 because it looked like we spent, you know, probably four times that to do it. But it's just what you... golly, man, my mind is boggling.
It pisses me off, too, because I can see what I do with. But the moral of this story is a lot of people talk shit and a lot of people will fucking take advantage of you. And, you know, it's not only in this, it's in wrestling. It's a whole bunch of things. We call them, you know, some people are money marks and they just want to, you know, they want to be involved. And like, okay, I'm going to give you an example of how shit should work. That whole thing I'm doing for Victor with the blood thing, you know, with Blood Wings thing with him and Ruby and shit.
Right.
I'm not getting paid for it. But I know if I ask them to do something for me, they're going to do it. You know, you're supposed to help each other out. And part of the reason I'm doing it is because when I read the thing and I actually figured out what the fuck they were doing, I'm like, shit, nobody's ever done nothing like this before. I want in.
Well, and also you made a very fine point there that making real friendships means a lot and doing things for people just because you really like them.
Yeah.
And man, isn't that a thing of the past? It's really neat. It's kind of like the way you and I work. I mean, here we are, you know, we're doing this and we always do this. We do anything we can for each other. We help each other out because we're friends, man. And honestly, it's the joy of working with you. That's why I do it. It's the fact that I like you. You're a really good friend of mine. You're like part of my family and I would do anything for you. And it's reciprocal. And I don't understand why people don't do things like that anymore.
Well, it's the same here, but you know, the majority, you know, we go back to the old school thing. I mean, you know, you got me out. I wasn't really hip to doing this whole show because it dragged on for so long with, you know, that other guy dangling the fucking carrot for 2 years. But then when you did it, like, okay, even like this stuff, you know, tonight, I just sat back and I said, let me fly with something fucking else, you know? Expect the unexpected here because I never know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to sit here and be stoogy and plan out something to be fucking scripted. It's bullshit. You know, I like having people on, but we can't have people on all the time. But, you know, we're going to have Keith back. We're going to have Ken back. You know, we're going to have fucking other people on. I mean, you got people waiting in the wings. So I'm not going to mention names, but they're pretty big names, you know?
True.
But we're going to have them on. We might even have some fucking fans on. We're going to do the whole Wasteland thing again, you know, try to go live.
Yeah, actually, I was going to talk to Ken about it because I'm going to try to figure out a way to go live from the lobby. And do updates during the day. Like, we'll just bring in updates. We'll have, like, the 42nd Street Pete Cinema Wasteland update, and we're just going to bring it in right there.
We'll be staggering over to the trash can and throwing up in it. You know? Netter will be there this time, so beware.
That's going to be
Joe
awesome.
Joe Netter will be there. I'm going to get Joe on the show, too. That'll probably get us fucking thrown off the internet if I get him back. Joe's out of his mind, but Joe's great.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to get cool people on. I mean, everybody we've had has been so fucking great. You know, I know Bill Greffy wanted to do it. You got his contact information. We got to get him on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got to get Bill on.
Yeah. So I'm working on something. I'm going to get Amy Lee back on. But what I really would like to do is, and I'm going to put this out there. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I want to get Amy on, whoever she's wrestling at the anniversary show with WSU. I want to get Mercedes Martinez on the champion. And I want to get Rain on the challenger. Four-way conversation. Let them tell, you know, how they got into business and shit. Then let them fucking go at it, you know, verbally. Build it up for the fucking show because people don't know how cool this shit is, you know.
It's true.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is amazing.
Well, I think we're almost done for this. Oh, this has been pretty cool stuff. You know, interesting, creative stuff that we do. And the magic word for the night, like I said, is ass lips. And following me, stay tuned for Mistress Marcia Miller with her Dark Girl's Pleasure Chest and what delights may lie in store for you there, because who knows what she's going to come up with this week. And my daughter's been on there twice, and so far she hasn't talked to me, so obviously she's getting royalty checks from somewhere, goddammit. So anyway, this is 42nd Street Pete. Until next week, stay sick.
42nd Street Pete's Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM.
Do you feel that? Oh, shit. Why, Come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me. Bobby, will you give it to me?
2, 3, 4.
Oh. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes. Get ready to die. Get ready to die.
Here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here. Too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I wanna sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on. Me now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit.
What you gotta do?
People equal shit.
I'm not afraid of you.
People equal shit.
Everything you'll ever be.
People equal shit.